Today on Seculo, President Trump delivers his nomination speech just days after assassination attempt.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hi, folks. Welcome to Seculo. I'm again joining you from my hotel room in Milwaukee. We'll be back in the studio on Monday. Will Haynes is there for us to keep that ship down. And again, last night, the most important night of the convention, I think probably one of the most important nights that we've seen in politics in many years. And that's because you had an attempted assassination attempt of a former president who is currently the nominated candidate for one of the two major political parties in the country. And at the same time, so we got the first time really he spoke to the American people. I think last night people are making a big deal about the speech being long. But I actually think when you take a step back, you have to realize that there were two major speeches within that one speech. And the first 45 minutes, of course, you've got a lot of crowd applause. You've got a lot of things that are taking up time when you're at that convention setting. But that first 45 minutes, Will, was spent on addressing the American people, not really even the convention so much, but the American people, about what happened on Saturday in Pennsylvania, honoring the firefighter who was killed, and Donald Trump with a very somber tone about what he personally went through. He said, "This is the only time you're going to hear it from me because it's too hard to tell." And I will tell you, just even the facial expressions. And then I think when he got into the second part of the speech, which was the more traditional political speech, you'll notice he even said, "I'm not going to say Biden's name again." So we did what we kind of predicted on the show, which was already getting ready for an unknown potential candidate. Some people joking already that he already beat, you know, what else does he have to do? 6 legal cases, 2 impeachments. He won an election. There was the contested election. And then he may have beat Joe Biden before even Election Day in this race, and he's up against an unknown Democrat candidate at this point because of how well he did in that debate. So you've got the left trying to seize on it. Was a long second part of the speech, but in reality, there were two speeches there, and I think it took some time, Will, to ramp up to the political speech after you're giving the speech about, as he said, that he felt like he should not even necessarily be here yesterday because of how close that shooter was with that kind of high-powered weapon.
That's right, Jordan. And as Axios called it, it was a convention speech in two acts. So almost like a two-act play or something that, as you mentioned, it was a different tone than you've seen from President Trump. Even when he got into the more policy side of the speech, it was a lot different tone than you're used to hearing from him when he gives a speech. It wasn't that fiery fight, fight, fight that we have seen from President Trump. It was a humbled and more subdued tone than you've heard from him. And I think that that's going to be the big question of what goes forward, because he looked different, he sounded different, but by all accounts, it was a very powerful moment in the history of the Republican Party, as well as a very powerful moment in the history of this country.
Yeah, I mean, what's clear is obviously with J.D. Vance, with Donald Trump, is that you've got a Republican Party which has fundamentally changed, and for the good. I think that a lot of us who are grassroots activists fought a long time just to get a seat at the table of the Republican Party because of, maybe pro-life views or conservative views on the economy, the border, security. But, just getting a seat at the table isn't running the table. And now you see I see so many of those activists that we didn't get to see 4 years ago because of COVID come back together again. But I will tell you, when your leader of the party has just been shot in an assassination attempt and then has to go in front of a packed, a packed arena, I don't care if you're Donald Trump or someone who's in the military and used to that kind of being under fire. That is a kind of tough situation. So I think all the speakers did a great job, including President Trump, who again used it for that first time to address the nation. We want to hear from you too at 1-800-684-3110. We'll take your phone calls. I'm in Milwaukee. We're back in the studio on Monday. Will's there today. And of course, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. You can double the impact of your donation. We'll be right back on Seculo.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington...
Folks, welcome back to Secular. So I'm in Milwaukee. We're heading home today. Will is in our studio. We'll be back in the studio on Monday. And last night, of course, at the Republican National Convention, I think a speech the whole country was waiting to see. One, because we knew that President Trump would address what happened on Saturday. And Will, we discussed it last night. You know, being in that room, obviously, it's a very loud, almost even when you're close. It can be hard to hear the speaker, and it's again because it's not a rock concert, it's not a sporting event. It's, you know, one person on a microphone. So when you really have to kind of focus in, and it was easier to do that, of course, the first part of that speech, because it wasn't a speech to the crowd to get the crowd excited. You know, it was on the issues. It was, what did Donald Trump go through on Saturday? How did that change him and even his thought process about, you know, moving forward as president, all of those issues, kind of the way he was talking to his family, even from the stage. And of course, looking at it, of course, all these admirers, but that was the same situation he was in Pennsylvania. So you can see that, you know, the security was very intense in Milwaukee, but everything worked out just fine. And that was great. But I will tell you, in that convention setting, though you are talking to the crowd, you really are, again, this is a made-for-TV event, and no one is trying to hide that fact. So when you're there, you really have to kind of key in to even list, be able to hear the speakers. I will tell you, for that first 40 minutes before it became more of a rally speech, Will, it was very easy to follow along with Donald Trump. It was a serious moment. People were in tears, talking about the firefighter who lost his life, talking about how even Donald Trump realized when he was looking out, they showed that picture of him on the ground with the blood and his eyes were open, and how he could hear people at that time. People thought he was dead. So he had this kind of like moment where he hopped back up and did the, you know, raise his fist with the fight, 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 as he said, just to let people really there know in Pennsylvania, because he didn't know at that point if he had been shot in other places. He said that, you know, at that point you're thrown out to the ground and adrenaline's pumping, but, you know, he did that to just let the people know he was okay. And so I think, again, it was just an insight into someone going through an assassination attempt just days ago. I mean, I don't remember any moment in my lifetime where you get that kind of speech or this kind of moment so close to an event like that.
That's right. And the fact that the tone changed, and right from the beginning, it was a call for unity. And it's something that I'm sure the left will spin and say, well, he doesn't really mean unity for everyone. But his words were very clear. And I think this is an important bite that we should play, and I want to get your take on it, Jordan. This was right at near the top of his speech. This is how he opened it. This is how he set the tone for receiving his nomination. This is bite one from President Trump last night.
Together we will launch a new era of safety, prosperity, and freedom for citizens of every race, religion, color, and creed. The discord and division in our society must be healed. We must heal it quickly. As Americans, we are bound together by a single fate and a shared destiny. We rise together or we fall apart. I am running to be president for all of America, not half of America, because there is no victory in winning for half of America.
Yeah, I mean, this, of course, this is the Donald Trump I remember from 4 years, from 8 years ago, when he ran for president the first time. Though people thought he was being divisive, he was actually being unifying. And Will, I don't know if it comes out to how the media spins it exactly, but I will tell you from being at the convention over four nights and being at three or four other conventions, working for conventions before in my career, this is the most diverse Republican Party I've ever walked through. And just walking through the convention, whether it, from people from different backgrounds, different economically, racial, people who are, you know, have immigrated to the country and become citizens, and they support the message from Donald Trump. And they, and then, I mean, I really think we're also in this very bizarre moment where not only is he having to address an assassination attempt and talking about, I think, you know, if you remember, it's the Democrats and Biden who have been vindictive, who sent the DOJ after Donald Trump. Donald Trump did not send the DOJ after Hillary Clinton. Even after that long campaign of people chanting, lock her up, he realized as president at that time that would be a waste, that you need to unite the country to work on those big economic issues that matter most, or, and people being able to be successful, that's not what you do. It's continued, like he said, you don't win for half the country, even if you only get half the country's support. The issue here now, though, is, like he said, I'm not going to bring up Biden again, has Donald Trump already beat Joe Biden? And who is going to be the, you know, we're hearing about potentially four Democrats running for office and Joe Biden not endorsing Harris and him pushing back, the campaign pushing back today. It is a bizarre time in U.S. presidential politics when you're already through one of the major parties' conventions.
That's right, Jordan. We even talked about that yesterday. We said just one of these stories, whether it be the weaponization of the DOJ, whether it be the failed assassination attempt, any of these, the disastrous debate performance, would be election-defining news items or moments in any normal cycle. And we're getting a new bombshell every single week, it feels like. We're not, like you said, last night, as the candidate for the Republicans, Donald Trump, was accepting his nomination, you were getting a deluge of reporting from Washington Post, New York Times, Axios, all of these big political reporters putting out stories about, well, it could be Sunday that Joe Biden decides I'm out. It could be him endorsing Kamala Harris. It could be him saying, let's do an open convention. I think AOC last night did a live on Instagram that was as long as Donald Trump's speech, trying to comfort her supporters, but also basically sounding like she's done with Joe Biden and all in on Kamala, but also trying to say she's not made that decision yet. It's a wild time. They are fractured. But I think we should play one more bite, Jordan, before the end of this segment. And this goes to the weaponization of the DOJ by the Democrats. And Donald Trump brought this up last night, and I thought it was a powerful moment. Let's go ahead and play bite three.
And we must not criminalize dissent or demonize political disagreement, which is what's been happening in our country lately at a level that nobody has ever seen before. In that spirit, the Democrat Party should immediately stop weaponizing the justice system and labeling their political opponent as an enemy of democracy, especially since that is not true. In fact, I am the one saving democracy for the people of our country. And very big news, as you probably just read, On Monday, a major ruling was handed down from a highly respected federal judge in Florida, Eileen Cannon, finding that the prosecutor and the fake documents case against me were totally unconstitutional, and the entire case was thrown out of court. With all of that publicity thrown out of court. If Democrats want to unify our country, they should drop these partisan witch hunts, which I have been going through for approximately 8 years. And they should do that without delay and allow an election to proceed that is worthy of our people. We're going to win it anyway.
And Jordan, that comes with the news that Jack Smith has filed notice of appeal in that documents case.
Yeah, I would imagine so, because or else it affects, of course, that case, because it just said he's an illegitimate prosecutor. That could affect, of course, the what's going on in Washington, D.C., and this idea that they would continue prosecutions even after the election. I think, listen, we will have the conventions in one aspect are you get through them. This one was going to have a lot of extra attention on it because Donald Trump is a major name. He was shot on Saturday. And within 10 days, Will, I mean, think about this 10-day stretch of Saturday from in Pennsylvania by, like you said, Saturday or Sunday this weekend, we could have had one of the leading candidates shot, and the current president, who would usually who would be the nominee for his party, step down after being in a debate, potentially putting up one of the most unpopular vice presidents in our history in the last, I mean, someone who was just taking that ability to kind of build your profile, and it's been a disaster. But yet you've got Democrats. Do they rally around Harris? Do they try someone new? How do you move this money around legally? There's a lot of things they've got to figure out before they decide just to boot Joe Biden. And obviously his campaign is pushing back today. But I'll tell you, I've been in campaigns before that are not on the winning side of history, and you already know that. And you still are not going to, of course, come out and dump on your candidate until that moment. First of all, legally, and also until all of those issues we just discussed are figured out. Like, where does the money go? Who gets, does Harris jump in? Does that keep the money with the campaign? And when you've raised hundreds of millions of dollars, that is a big deal. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back coming up. We've got our Life and Liberty Challenge. Go to ACLJ.org. Donate today. Double your impact. We'll be right back on Seculo.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Champions aren't born. Champions are ordinary people just like you who choose to do the extraordinary. To go the extra mile, to do what is right, no matter the cost. It can be a difficult choice, but one any of us can make, including you. You can make a difference. You can be a champion. The legal battles we fight and the victories we've won are only possible because of the support of ACLJ members like you. But many of our cases take not only weeks, but months and sometimes years. By setting up a monthly donation, ACLJ champions ensure we have the resources we need to take on these critical legal battles and win. By becoming a monthly donor, you become a champion of life, a champion of liberty, and a champion of freedom. Become an ACLJ champion today. Go to aclj.org/champion.
All right, folks, welcome back to Seculo. I'm in Milwaukee. I'll be back in studio on Monday. Will is in the studio and our team there. It's been great to still come to you each day this week from the convention and give you kind of a flair of what we're doing at the ACLJ and ACLJ action here. Of course, meeting a lot of these delegates are also frontline grassroots activists that have their own smaller organizations. A lot of those groups that we represented in those Tea Party cases are people who become delegates to the convention. We've got a lot of friends running for office, if you follow our social media as well, and it's great to see them in this week where everyone is together from not only just federal candidates and people running in Washington, D.C., but you get the people running from in different states. And of course, that's very important now. But I think, Will, to go to a moment, we mentioned it right off the beginning of the show. It was probably the only time in my life. Now, I worked on the 2004 convention that was in New York City after 9/11 that the Republican Party decided to have in New York, even though it was a pretty hostile place. I think it was still the largest protest in history, convention history, was outside Madison Square Garden during the Republican National Convention with George W. Bush. But it was also a time when the Republican Party came together very united after those 3 years. We were at war. We were dealing with terrorism inside our own country. And we decided as a party to go back, to go to New York, to host the convention there. That was a very serious moment. But I will tell you, it still did not reach a moment where 6 days ago, the person on stage accepting the party's nomination was shot in the head and still has a very large bandage on his ear and a part of his ear that is no longer there. And so I wanted to play this bite right from the early part of the speech because it was different. Usually in a convention speech, you come out and it's very hard hitting from the top. You want the crowd going wild. But President Trump knew he had to do something. He had to address this event on Saturday. And he said this is the only time he will be addressing it. It's too painful for him. He thanked the Secret Service team that got around and protected him. He's obviously going to let the investigators and the people that are going to do that to get to the bottom of it, like we are at the ACLJ, take that on. Him personally, he's got to move on as a candidate for the country. Take a listen.
I'm not supposed to be here tonight. Not supposed to be here. But I'm not. And I'll tell you, I stand before you in this arena only by the grace of Almighty God.
I mean, I think, Will, whatever you want to say about President Trump and his personal faith or who he is, we've seen him as president. We've seen him on the issues. We've seen who he'll nominate, who he fights for at the court. Of course, we fought for him before with Mueller, with the first impeachment. I mean, you're talking about someone who's been impeached when he wasn't even president, who's had to sit through criminal trials. And when you demonize people like President Trump talked about, and when he made that call to knock this off, to stop calling people enemies of democracy, to stop calling people Hitler. Because if you killed Hitler, you would think you were doing something good. You were doing something that would be applauded. And this is likely encouraging people to take this kind of action. But I think, Will, again, it was very somber and sobering moment for the country. And you kind of are looking at Donald Trump and saying, you kind of do that check, like, would I even be here right now? Not if this similar kind of thing even happened to you. If you had have the pain of a rifle injury on your ear and you are giving an address to accept the nomination for the biggest job in the world while you're still healing from that gunshot. And yet it's not you who's people are talking about dropping out of the race. It's your opponent thinking about dropping out of the race for not being able to stick with it. And then that, of course, raises a lot of issues about whether or not Joe Biden's entire cabinet has allowed him to go on as president. And how could he really stay in office as president, finish out the term, if he doesn't feel like he's competent to be on the ballot in 2 months?
That's right, Jordan. And in that tone that you heard from President Trump, it was very reflective. He, like you said, he went into great detail telling the story. And that's what took the large portion of that first act of his speech last night. But you even hear with that bite about, I'm not supposed to be here tonight, in the tone of the bite we played in the previous segment about, that I want to be president. I'm running for president for all America, not half America. And that is that's not what he always believed, but the way the circumstances of what's happened have almost given him a new liberty to speak in that way with a different tone that is not what you'd expect from the fighter Donald Trump. But him having this life experience and this tragedy and this horrific attack and seeing supporters of his, which he loves his supporters. He is very much on their team. He loves the firefighters. He loves the police. He sees this happen. He sees this tragedy around him. It almost gives him the liberty to speak in this tone. And I don't think this is the last time we'll see him being in this more somber, reflective tone. Well, still, I'm sure as this campaign goes on and whoever he's running against, you'll still see the fiery speeches. Hopefully we'll see another debate, especially if it's a different candidate. But I do think that there's a difference in a liberty that he has to speak in a different way that you wouldn't expect from President Trump just a week ago.
Yeah, and I think, again, it's a self-reflection. You saw the interaction from his grandkids at the convention, his sons, and his family coming together and being there, I think, again, a strong symbol. And, someone who has, again, went through an experience where they said, even though the crowd said no, of course, they believe, like most people believe, that he was saved, almost supernaturally, and as he acknowledged, that he really shouldn't be there based off the facts of where the shooter was, the kind of weapon they had, how close they were, how many shots they were able to get off. And of course, not forgetting that someone did lose their life. It wasn't like this shooter was missing people or missed Donald Trump. Shot him in the head. He just happened to turn his head in the right way at the right moment in the right second in history, or he wouldn't have been there this week, and we'd be a very different country. I think the only reason that even like the MSNBC types could even be critical last night was because Donald Trump is back on stage as the nominee. And they were also covering for a mess which is happening inside their own party, which is whether or not Joe Biden is going to survive as the candidate for the Democrat Party. What happens to Harris? What is it, Michelle Obama? What happens to all of them and this money they've raised? It's a mess. And so I think, honestly, this convention, you will remember that moment, Will, because of what happened in Pennsylvania. But for the most part, you get through this week, it's not so defining to your campaign. J.D. Vance has a lot of work to do to still introduce himself to the country, and Donald Trump has a lot of work to do. But if you can get through this week without kind of a mess or without any missteps, that's smooth enough, and that happened. The convention was smooth. The speakers ran the gamut of diversity and difference, even of opinion, who come together under the Make America Great Again banner. So, folks, I encourage you, support the work of the ACLJ. We're getting to the bottom of these issues with the weaponization of our legal system, of course, and fighting back against that at the ACLJ. Double the impact of your donation at ACLJ.org. And we want to hear from you. We want to get your phone calls. What did you take from the convention speech from Donald Trump? 1-800-684-3110. Join us on Seculo. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo.
Welcome back to the broadcast, and thank you for tuning in for that first half hour. We're going to take your phone calls on what your reaction to Donald Trump's nomination acceptance speech last night at the RNC. Call us at 1-800-684-3110 to be on the air. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be joined by Professor Harry Hutchison in the next segment. We're going to talk a little bit more about that bite that we played earlier in the broadcast about Donald Trump condemning the political prosecutions from the Democrats, as well as making reference to the Jack Smith prosecution in Florida that was thrown out earlier this week at the beginning of the convention by Judge Eileen Cannon in Florida. We're going to get into that and talk a little bit about the appeal that has been filed by the special counsel Jack Smith in that case with Professor Hutchison in the next segment. But I want to go ahead and take a call. I see a lot of you who are calling in now. I appreciate that, and we'll get to your calls here throughout the broadcast. But let's first go to Danielle in Iowa on line two. Danielle, you're on Seculo.
Hi. I just wanted to say I think it was very telling that this is the only situation in recent history that the left and the liberal media is not screaming or even mentioning the idea of gun control.
Yeah, Danielle, it is interesting. And the statements that came out normally after a mass casualty, mass shooting event, that is the first place that the left goes. It wasn't the case here. I think that a lot of that may have to do with them trying to be cautious to not look overtly political. So they weren't going to push forward an agenda item when the opposing candidate of their party was nearly assassinated. That's my read on it, why they probably didn't go there. I have seen a lot of commentators that are liberal-leaning go there, but you're right. Kamala Harris and President Biden did not go there. They instead went the unity track. Now, their unity track was completely different than the unity track that President Trump talked about last night. He went forward and said, I will be president for all Americans, not just half the country. We need to heal this division, and we need to heal it quickly. Those are not the same type of statements that you heard from the president and the vice president in the wake of this tragedy last weekend. You heard President Biden give an Oval Office address calling for unity, and then went through a litany of political violence moments where he talked about the attack on Nancy Pelosi's husband. He brought up Gabby Giffords, obviously that over a decade ago now, but still very fresh in the minds of a lot of people, especially in Arizona, when a sitting congresswoman was shot on stage. Now, what was glaringly absent from the litany of attacks is he paid reference to the content and in the context of President Trump being almost assassinated, but then gave a lot of attacks that were against people on the left. But some of the notable missing instances was Steve Scalise getting shot as he practiced for the congressional baseball game, and also the attempted assassination of Brett Kavanaugh. If he were trying to present a more unified picture about condemning violence, political violence, those are two examples in recent history that should have been included in that list to say, look, this doesn't belong anywhere. But instead, it was littered with political statements to make it seem like the people who are responsible for this are his political opponents. Instead of saying, we both need to cool it, and we need to move forward and not incite violence, he tried to spin it back towards the right. Folks, we are in our Life and Liberty drive right now. As we've seen, the world can change in the blink of an eye, and that's why we need your support. During our Life and Liberty drive, your gifts are doubled by going to aclj.org. And also, it's why our champions are so vital for us here. And it helps us be able to take on and expand at a moment's notice. A champion is someone whose gift is recurring, it's monthly, and during this Life and Liberty drive, that gift is doubled as well. Go to aclj.org and become a champion of life, liberty, and freedom. Donate today, aclj.org.
Champions aren't born. Champions are ordinary people just like you who choose to do the extraordinary, to go the extra mile, to do what is right no matter the cost. It can be a difficult choice, but one any of us can make, including you. You can make a difference. You can be a champion. The legal battles we fight and the victories we've won are only possible because of the support of ACLJ members like you. But many of our cases take not only weeks, but months and sometimes years. By setting up a monthly donation, ACLJ champions ensure we have the resources we need to take on these critical legal battles and win. By becoming a monthly donor, you become a champion of life, a champion of liberty, and a champion of freedom. Become an ACLJ champion today. Go to aclj.org/champion.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Welcome back to Seculo. Executive producer Will Haynes in the chair today. Jordan is now, you saw him in the first half hour, he's traveling back from Milwaukee and will be back in studio with us on Monday. I'm joined now by Professor Harry Hutchison, and I wanted to get more into this discussion that was raised by President Trump last night about stopping the political prosecutions. He referenced the Judge Cannon case where she dismissed Jack Smith's charges against President Trump because of two sections of the United States Constitution, both the Appointments Clause and the Appropriations Clause, saying that one, he was not in a position of authority because the special counsel was not appointed through the normal process, which is set out in our laws. And then also that the fact that Jack Smith had nearly an unlimited budget to continue to run this prosecution. That was even something that was brought up in the hearing she held about whether or not he could remain on the case. She brought up, well, where does your funding come from? And the lawyers for the Department of Justice said, well, you know, we have this place we can go, but if that runs out, we'll just get money from wherever. Completely eliminating the role of oversight that Congress has with the power of the purse to appropriate money to the executive branch. So I want to play this bite, and it's a little bit longer. We played it early in the broadcast, but it really encapsulates everything we've been talking about here at ACLJ for months and years, really, when it comes to lawfare that's being waged by the left. Jordan hosted a panel at the RNC with Rick Rennell and Ben Sisney, an attorney here at ACLJ, on this very topic of lawfare earlier in the week on Tuesday. And we got readouts from him on that earlier in the broadcast this week. So you should go check that out on Tuesday's broadcast to hear about that panel if you missed it. But I want to go ahead and play this soundbite, and then I'll go to Professor Harry Hutchison to talk about what he reads from this and kind of where the state of that case goes as Jack Smith filed a notice of appeal on Wednesday to fight the ruling of the judge in that case. Let's go ahead and play bite three from President Trump last night.
And we must not criminalize dissent or demonize political disagreement, which is what's been happening in our country lately at a level that nobody has ever seen before. In that spirit, the Democrat Party should immediately stop weaponizing the justice system and labeling their political opponent as an enemy of democracy, especially since that is not true. In fact, I am the one saving democracy for the people of our country. And very big news, as you probably just read, on Monday, a major ruling was handed down from a highly respected federal judge in Florida, Eileen Cannon, finding that the prosecutor and the fake documents case against me were totally unconstitutional, and the entire case was thrown out of court. With all of that publicity, thrown out of court. If Democrats want to unify our country, they should drop these partisan witch hunts, which I have been going through for approximately 8 years. And they should do that without delay and allow an election to proceed that is worthy of our people. We're going to win it anyway.
Professor Hutchison, that bite there, he went through the litany of it. He even goes back to that he's been going through this witch hunt or this lawfare against him for nearly 8 years, starting with the Russia collusion narrative, which was disproven, and the hiring of a special counsel. He's very familiar with special counsels. But now what we see out of Florida is a judge in the district level saying that the appointment of these special counsels flies in the face of the Constitution. What was your take on the bite from President Trump and as well the state of that case?
Well, of course, President Trump was precisely correct. And so that raises the question, why has Donald Trump faced several state criminal cases in New York and in Georgia? Why has he faced two federal criminal cases in Florida and D.C.? Why have lawyers throughout the country, from Colorado to Maine, sought to disqualify Donald Trump from seeking the presidency? Why has he faced two impeachment cases in addition to the Russia collusion case, which was prosecuted by Adam Schiff and essentially by Bob Mueller? He's faced these attacks as part of a lawfare campaign because the claim is he is a threat to democracy. In reality, Donald Trump is a threat. He's a threat to the progressive agenda, which systematically seeks to subvert the interest of middle class and lower class Americans who believe in the Constitution, who believe in the rule of law. And at the ACLJ, we have partnered, if you will, with President Trump in a number of legal cases by filing amicus briefs designed to defend the Constitution. And so if you focus, for instance, on the documents case in Florida, which Judge Eileen Cannon dismissed, in that particular case, we had two provisions of the Constitution which basically defied Jack Smith's claim to jurisdiction. And most Americans understand the Appropriations Clause and the Appointments Clause, and it is clear beyond question that Jack Smith was appointed in defiance of those constitutional provisions, and that is one way of clawing back from this lawfare campaign that the Democrats insist upon.
There is something that Rick Grenell often says on this broadcast is when the left accuses you of doing something nefarious, it's oftentimes the case that they are the ones doing it themselves. And when you look at their claims that he's subverting democracy, he's against democracy, going so far as to say he's a threat to democracy or could end democracy, a lot of the things the left has been doing against President Trump is undemocratic, for lack of a better term, whether it be trying to utilize the courts and the legal system to prevent him from running, whether it be the 14th Amendment challenges, which we at the ACLJ represented the Colorado Republican Party to try to ensure that voters there could vote for the candidate of their choice because he had qualified to be on the ballot, and they tried to keep him off. Very undemocratic move. Now you see them pushing very hard against their own nominee, the sitting president of the United States, that voters voted for in a primary and are sending delegates to a convention to put him as their nominee. When the threat of them holding power is slipping from their hands, they will do anything but go through with the democratic process to try to hang on to that power. And then you look at Jack Smith using the special counsel, which many people have criticized the appointments of special counsels for many years. that as soon as the independent counsel statute ran out and special counsels became a thing, now you're looking at them using something that very much could fly in the face of the Constitution to go after a political opponent. That in and of itself is very undemocratic, and that's what the left is doing. But Harry, we saw that Jack Smith, filed a notice of appeal with the appeals court, the 11th district, which is out of Atlanta, to try to appeal this ruling from Judge Cannon. What are your thoughts on what could happen at the appeals court? And do you think it even matters at the appeals court? This is probably going to the Supreme Court no matter what.
Very good questions. First, I would say this case is probably going to the Supreme Court no matter what. But number two, if we simply focus on the legal merits of Jack Smith's appeal, it is clear beyond question, in my opinion, that what we are dealing with is the elite's belief that they have the sole right to rule. So elites, by their very nature, are anti-democratic. And that includes members of the Department of Justice. It includes Jack Smith. But it also includes the talking heads on many of the so-called mainstream media channels who believe that it is their preferences that should be control the country. And so they basically oppose rule by the American people. Donald Trump represents the interests of the American people, working class people, individuals who have lost jobs, individuals who have difficulty affording a mortgage, and the elites oppose their interests. So they are going to continue to push this agenda, and indeed they have pushed this agenda for the last 50 to 60 years.
Folks, we are in the middle of our Life and Liberty Drive this month of July, and we do work each and every day that can't be done without your support. Your support enables us to file FOIA requests like the one we filed just yesterday to the Secret Service and Department of Homeland Security to get answers on the security breakdown in the assassination attempt of President Trump. You enable us to submit FOIA requests against the military base, Fort Liberty, formerly Fort Bragg, that called pro-life advocates terrorists. And we're preparing to file a lawsuit to protect election integrity against a fraudulent pro-abortion amendment in Arizona. We'll talk more about that in the weeks ahead. And we continue to take global legal action to support Israel and defend them. Folks, we can't do this without you. Your gift is doubled during our Life and Liberty Drive. Go to aclj.org and have your donation doubled today.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you. Life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation. They're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Champions aren't born. Champions are ordinary people just like you who choose to do the extraordinary, to go the extra mile, to do what is right no matter the cost. It can be a difficult choice, but one any of us can make, including you. You can make a difference. You can be a champion. The legal battles we fight and the victories we've won are only possible because of the support of ACLJ members like you. But many of our cases take not only weeks, but months and sometimes years. By setting up a monthly donation, ACLJ champions ensure we have the resources we need to take on these critical legal battles and win. By becoming a monthly donor, you become a champion of life, a champion of liberty, and a champion of freedom. Become an ACLJ champion today. Go to aclj.org/champion.
Welcome back to Seculo. Executive producer Will Haynes in the host chair today. You heard from Jordan earlier in this broadcast. He was able to join us for the first half hour before making his way back home from Milwaukee. You'll see him back in studio on Monday. One of the biggest disappointments from this broadcast today is that Logan is not here with me today, because I think maybe the most peak political Logan Seculo moment happened last night, and that is when Hulk Hogan, former WWE professional wrestler, took the stage, ripped off his shirt in normal fashion of Hulk Hogan, tearing his shirt to reveal a tank top that said Trump Vance underneath, and he said he called it Trumpamania as a play on WrestleMania. So I am saddened that Logan's not here, because I think it would have been a completely different broadcast this hour. We probably would have only talked about professional wrestling. But we are not. Logan will join us next week as well. But I do want to get to your calls here as well. Let's go to line four, Yvette, calling from New York. Yvette, you're on the air.
Oh, wow. Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I guess the first thing I would say was, between you, me, and the doorpost, to me, the second part of President Trump's speech was a little bit meandering, but that's not my main point. My main point was that, you know, you had that clip of President Trump saying that he wanted to be president of the whole country, not half the country. You never hear that on the mainstream media. And there was also, I think it was the Independent newspaper from Britain. On their website, they said that Hulk Hogan introduced the president. No, he was one of the speakers. It was the fellow from mixed martial arts,
Dana White,
you know, who introduced the president. I mean, it's a flashy, weirdo sport, but at least he's a real businessman. And I mean, you can't even get a straight story from these people. And
The media didn't know what to do last night with the speech from President Trump. I agree with you, though. They're as they say in the media world, they're burying the lead by missing the message of unity that he gave right up front. And it was a powerful message. It had a very humble tone to it, a very sober tone about the reality of where we are, even saying that the discord and division in our society must be healed. That's what the left is claiming President Trump is waging on our society. He's calling for a healing. And he almost called their bluff the way that the left responded. Even David Axelrod said the Trump speech is the first good thing that's happened to Democrats in weeks. And I understand criticizing maybe the length of it. A lot of people don't like long speeches. It's his prerogative to do what he would like. And there was a lot to fit in with the almost two-act speech as we have seen it framed, that the first was about the assassination attempt, and then the second act was more of a traditional rally-styled Trump speech that you would see if you were to go to see him at a rally in a local city. But you're right. The fact that they're not highlighting that and talking about it and maybe critiquing it if they don't agree with it or they don't believe him, that should be really the message that everyone took away. And that's why it was right up front at the speech. But instead, they're trying to get into style and substance. And honestly, it was a unique speech. There are people that could say, well, you know, he was off teleprompter and it got rambling throughout the end of the speech. That is all fair to describe it, but you can't not address the message of unity and hope, really, that was given at the beginning about healing society. That's what everyone wants. That's what people have been calling on him to give. They've specifically said, where is President Trump calling on healing and unity? It was right there at the Republican National Convention in his acceptance speech of the nomination. But when he gives the words that they've been calling for, they ignore it because it's not convenient for them. They want to continue to paint him as a divider, and you're going to see that going forward. All of their calls for toning down the rhetoric, it's not meant for them. It's meant for conservatives. And so when they get something positive out of President Trump, like a unity call, they're going to ignore it because they don't really mean it when they want unity. What they want is unity for them, not for everyone else. Let's go to another call. Let's go to Patty from Virginia calling on line one. Patty, you're on Seculo.
Hi, glad to be on. I'm a champion, but whatever.
That's
not
champion,
why I'm called.
Patty.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure. I'm calling with a question that I had long before last Saturday, but last Saturday kind of clears it up. We are all Americans, and we all live in the same country. And the one thing, we could have different ways of looking at it, but we all would want the best person to be our president. And if I thought Joe Biden were a good guy, he's from my neck of the woods, I'm from northeastern Pennsylvania, but he's not a good man, and he's not a well man, and he won't be a good president. Now, I want the best person to be president, and I don't think that in any way makes me extra smart or a rocket scientist. Where is this country to say they want to run somebody like Joe Biden? I don't think he ever had it, but even if he did, he doesn't have it now. And why would you want him to be the head of the most powerful country in the world?
It raises a lot of questions, and I think that's what the Democrat Party is trying to reckon with right now, is that President Biden originally said he was a bridge president. He was going to be a transitional figure, someone to bridge the gap between the end of the Trump presidency and the next chapter. A lot of people didn't expect him to run for re-election, but he did. He's here, and his heels are dug in now, and that's the infighting you're seeing. And it's still very much up in the air whether or not he will be their nominee. Their convention doesn't start until August 19th. They were trying to rush it early with a digital vote, a digital roll call over Zoom, to be able to get him as the official nominee before their actual convention, because the people that are wanting to keep him as the nominee realize we got to do something quick. And those that don't want him are crying foul, be like, no, I don't care if the voter's elected. We got to get somebody else. We may lose democratically. We may lose. We have to find a way out of this. So it is tough, and I agree, Patty. You said, I don't know why, but I just want the best person to be president. That just makes you an American. That's what it means. But the way that many of those on the left are operating right now just comes across as very un-American, and all the ideals and traditions and constitutional framework that we have here. I'm going to get to Diane from Virginia. Diane, we're under a minute. I want to hear you real quick, though.
I know you're hurt for time, so the investigation, first of all, my question real quick is, and you don't have to answer right now, does Biden really have the authority to launch his own investigation into the shooting? Because my concern is that then nobody will have to answer to Congress, because they'll all be saying, I can't comment on a current investigation.
Diane, I'm only cutting you off because I've got 30 seconds. I believe he can order a review because he's the leader of the executive branch, and that's under his purview. But also, Congress does have oversight, and I don't think that they can get around that. We're going to see a lot Monday because the Secret Service director has been subpoenaed to appear before Congress. So we'll cover that Monday. Thank you, everyone, for watching this week with our coverage of the RNC. And don't forget, go to ACLJ.org and donate today to have your gifts doubled. ACLJ.org.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.